Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, man, it's hot.
All right, okay. I'm going to ask you all a question, and regardless of how you feel about the subject, you have to give me an honest answer.
I'm scared.
All right. What is your favorite Hulk Hogan movie?
God.
The podcast doesn't start until you answer the question. So yeah.
No holds barred.
Oh, ew. Okay.
Suburban Commander.
Mr. Nanny. There we go. Because Mr. Nanny had all like the cameos at the beginning. We was having the flashbacks of getting beat up by all the wrestlers. And plus, you saw Hulk Hogan getting beat up by all the wrestlers, which was quite entertaining. So
that's true. And No Holds Barred had Zeus.
Oh, good old may he rest, tiny.
Anyway, moving on from that ick. Welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast talking about nerdery, geekism, and all icks in between from a South London postcode. I'm your host, Shanners. I'm one of your awesome hosts. Next to me is the equally hot and bothered instant classic.
I need some water, I really do. Hey, everyone.
Oh, God, man. and on the other side of me, the equally hot, bothered, and melting big man Boogeray. How you doing, man? Holding up?
I'm not too bad. Got a nice bottle of water with me. So,
damn it, yeah. I didn't do that. I didn't think about that.
For real. push up my head. Egg on our faces.
Nice bottle of water. We good.
Okay, this week we're coming up to our penultimate episode, and this week is the turn of Bruv. What have you got for us today?
All right, I know. Yes, the last podcast was very wrestling heavy due to the fact we're talking about current events, and there were like 20 pay per views that some of us watched, some of us didn't. So it was quite big. I want to talk about a different side of wrestling, more like the Hollywood side, or I like to call, I want to talk about the three wrestling pillars of Hollywood. Now, when I say wrestling pillars, like, actors have come and gone in Hollywood, and some of them have been successful, well, a few of them have been successful, but not a lot of them have lasted. Like, for example, who remembers Ultimate Warrior's film Firepower?
Warrior made a film?
There it goes, there you go. The only reason why I remember that film is because I watched Ultimate Warrior cut a man's head off. So that's a film that's...
What?
There was a film called Firepower where Ultimate Warrior was technically the bad guy. It was like some futuristic underground fighting bullshit. It had the main stars, I use the word loosely, stars, were Chad McQueen and Gary Daniels, one of the only guys to actually do well in Hong Kong in martial arts when it comes to the film industry. And don't ask what the story was. I think there were cops trying to, like, to expose this underground fighting thing for killing people. And yeah, Ultimate Warrior was the champion, the metal one. Yeah, it was basically like a futuristic poor man's best of the best, but with murder, I guess.
Okay, sorry, question. So this is Ultimate Warrior without makeup in this film?
It's funny because I saw it when I was young, and I swear he wasn't. But then the promotion pictures, he's wearing painted. He's wearing his face paint. So I can't remember. I don't want to watch it again.
What year was this abomination? What was this?
This was like early nineties. Early nineties, like 95. Wow. Like, so, but anyway.
Me educated.
But yeah. So wrestlers have. Like dip their toes in Hollywood, Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, but I think the only one who to do well or at least even have a cult following was Rowdy Roddy Piper. May he rest in peace, because obviously he has classics. Yeah, like They Live, Frogtown, the Manhattan Bangers, and like he was well loved in the Hollywood industry. But I want to talk about the current, as I call them, wrestling pillars of Hollywood, and they are obviously Dave Bautista, John Cena, and Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Of course, yes.
So it's funny now I think about it, because like I have love for all of them. Like they're all really good actors, but obviously some have surpass range. Others.
Some have ranked.
Yeah, like for example, I would say out of all three of them, the best one hands down is Dave Bautista.
Yep.
Yes, I agree.
Because
even though I'd like to give Cena a bit more time in the oven.
That's fair, because I feel the problem with it when it comes to John Cena and The Rock. I feel like they didn't do enough shit films or shit things compared to Dave Bautista. Dave Bautista, he's in one of my, like, there's a film, like, I know, it, like, it's like, how can I describe it? This film, I don't love this film, because it's like a little throwback to, like, Warriors of Virtue, Free Ninja Kids kind of thing. It was a film called Enter the Warrior's Gate. And Dave Bautista was like the main big bad. Like, it's like basically you think modern day Isekai, young American kid who's bullied, blah blah blah, gets sent to a magical world where he's the young white man to save all the yellow people, basically.
Of course, yes.
But like done tastefully, I will say done very tastefully. Dave Bautista had this really cool, like, funny, like little banter where he had one of his henchmen was just overly dumb. And it had a really cool back and forth, and it was just basically it was your typical like kid fanfare when you think about it. But I love that film because Dave Bautista was really cool, and it was just a decent. It's a good throwback. So I highly recommend it. You can find it on Amazon Freevee, if I'm not mistaken. But like his career, especially starting off, he had a lot more of those films compared to people like The Rock and John Cena. I mean, I feel like The Rock's. I feel like when it comes to John Cena, for example, like I think the worst thing he ever did was those Fred films when he was there's a YouTuber called Fred. I don't know if anyone remembers him. He's from the early days of YouTube. Like he was probably one of the biggest YouTubers at the time. And he had like a couple of films, and in the second and third film, he played Fred's imaginary dad. And apparently in those films, John Cena showed a lot of range that he was actually trying to get better at actually being an actor, even though technically he was playing himself as Fred's dad, which was really strange. But like a lot of his films, barring The Marine and maybe 12 Rounds, those are probably his worst films. And then like he started getting like those bit parts in comedy films like Trainwreck, which basically was his coming out party.
Alone had me in tears.
Yeah, and then like the one he played a drug dealer. What was that film? What's that film called?
Well, Sisters.
Yeah.
Oh no, that was where I was like, what is John Cena doing? Oh my god, he's hilarious.
Yeah, like, and then I feel like Bautista had his moment when obviously when it came to Guardians of the Galaxy, because people underestimate the physical comedy of wrestlers, because when it comes to physical comedy, they can do it on a whim, and that's where they shine. But then, I think Batista, he took more risks in the roles he did. Yeah. And I mean, like, for The Rock, he tried to take risks, but then it backfired for him. Because, like, I feel like for example, his first big risk was Be Cool, which worked out for him, because obviously he was playing a gay Samoan who had which is a big risk for a guy who's supposed to be portraying this big tough guy wrestler, and there's a stigma with that kind of type of masculinity, and he did that, and it shined for him.
He was the best thing in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah.
His big failure, I would say, was with Shortland Tales.
You know what?
That's for everybody. Everybody
involved in that. I would say Shortland Tales. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I would say Faster was his biggest.
Love Faster. I thought. Okay, I'm sorry. How?
Ooh, okay, go for it. Big man, step up.
Compared to Shortland Tales. Come on, I want to hear this, please.
The Shortland Tales, don't get me wrong, is not a masterpiece by no means of the imagination. But it proved he can actually put on a performance. Faster was just him in a flashback, just kicking people's asses. That's pretty much what we just came to see. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, both of them didn't do majorly great at the box office. But acting-wise, I thought he kind of did more. Well, I thought he performed better in Southland Tales.
See, I thought in Southland Tales he overacted, and it just ruined his performance, in my opinion. Because I think everyone was overacting that fucking film.
I was about to say everybody did, because of the person directing it. Donnie Darko had been a huge hit. We were waiting to see what was going to be next. It was Southland Tales. Sarah Michelle Gellar's in it. The Rock's in it. What are we going to see? And it was a mess.
Was Sean William Scott in that as well?
Yes, he was. And you never saw him again.
Damn it, honey. Yeah, for real.
Wow.
Just for record, Shortland Tales got 5.3 and Fast got 6.4. Just saying. Anyway. I'm just saying.
You know what? That was like a slow what? Well, that was a slow hit, bro. That was
because the thing is, it's like Faster was an entertaining film, and like it basically is a throwback to like old school westerns, like The Man with No Name kind of thing, coming around to get his revenge and kill a bunch of people. But then Shortland Tales was just a piece of shit.
To be fair, I ain't seen that film in how many years? I wouldn't really watch it again.
But yeah, after the Shortland Tales debacle, he basically stuck. He played it safe by just doing kids' films.
I felt like it was a scattergun approach, looking at the time. Like, it was almost like, let's just throw shit at the wall and see what sticks, if you get what I mean.
But then,
because it was. Sorry, what's that?
No, but then like. To be fair, actually, that was a bad period, really.
That's what I mean, you've got, like, obviously, no, you've got, like, Scorpion King, like, that bit in The Mummy Returns, launched Scorpion King.
Mm-hmm.
Then you kind of just had to me, like, the scattergun of, well, let's see, because obviously it's part of his kind of, I think that's when we started to see that he was definitely moving away from wrestling. He started to, because then we had this whole interim, we had Dwayne The Rock in quotes Johnson. We then knew there was the whole controversy with him retaining his name away from WWE and then starting to branch out into, and then it just seemed to be scattergun approach, like Shortland Tales, Be Cool, Walking Tall, kids movies.
Because it was like it was actually quite consistently good or average start when he got in wrestling. So obviously Mummy, then Scorpion. Actually, well, technically, if you want to get technical, it was the Star Trek cameo, then the Mummy 2, then Scorpion King.
Wasn't there Doom as well?
Wait, I haven't even got to there yet. Because Rundown, or AKA Welcome to the Jungle.
That Walks the Jungle, Rundown.
Walking Tall.
Yeah.
Be Cool. That's where it started getting better. And then it went downhill from this point where it went Doom.
Oh, that was
then
bad.
Shortland Tales.
Yeah.
I didn't watch this film. I'm sure Big Man did. Gridiron Gang. Was that any good?
Was that the American football one?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a poor man's what it called again.
Remember? Oh, I know what you thought. Yeah, I know it for you. Oh my god. It just had Burt Reynolds in it. They had like, Oh wait, Adam Sandler was in it.
No, that's you're thinking of Mean Machine or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
so
I'm thinking Mean Machine. I didn't.
Too bad, but it was, for me, it was a poor man's Remember the Titans. So
yeah.
One and done, as they say.
But then, I feel like that's when it went kind of sloping down, and then he decided to okay, and then the next thing he did was that bloody cameo in Reno 99.
Yeah.
911, where he was basically that SWAT man who got killed instantly, which was hilarious, by the way. And then it went to Game Plan, a kids film. Then Get Smart. It started, started to get relatively decent. Then Race to Witch Mountain.
Then it started. Other guys.
Other guys was like after this, but there was a few things in between. So it was like this. It was kids. Kid film era where it was like Get Smart, Witch Mountain, Planet 51, Tooth Fairy, and then other guys came along.
Wait a sec. I just had a realization.
Yeah.
What's the plot of Walking Tall again?
That's based on the true story, isn't it? About a guy.
It was a remake or something.
Probably was. It was a remake of the film as well, but it was ex-soldier or marine, whatever, comes back home. His home's gone downhill. One of his best friends, his reason for it going downhill. There's an incident in a bar where he's left for dead. Then he decides to become a sheriff and then fix things and, you know, the usual shit. He hits people.
Pause. Isn't kind of the plot of China O'Brien?
Oh, snap.
Isn't that kind of the plot of China O'Brien? Cynthia Ruffrock.
That is exactly.
Which is also kind of like the trifecta of Roadhouse. So do we have Walking Tall, China O'Brien, and Roadhouse in a kind of triangle that they're kind of the same film with a few differences?
Ever make it to the Walking Tall? Walking Tall Part 2.
Which Kevin saw, but fuck no.
No, we don't mention that one. Yeah, we don't talk about Sorbo.
Well, the ironic thing, you know, there's in talks to do a reboot of that as well.
Walking Tall.
But in the main lead has Charlotte Flair.
China O'Brien, but Cynthia Ruffrock would like a word. give Cynthia her flowers. Cynthia would like a word, and she
deserves that word.
Never be.
Sorry, that I know I derailed the conversation, but that just seemed like, I was like, wait a second. I just saw a scene that reminded me in my head of Walking Tall, but I was like, wait, they can blend. They're kind of the same movie.
Yes. Yeah, they are. In very, very much so.
Basically. Listen,
there's better martial arts with Cynthia Ruffrock in it.
Very true.
Okay, sorry. Back to The Rock. Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, yeah. But yeah, there was like, I think it was like in between that period, there was like basically kids' films and random things to see if they, like you said, if they would stick. And then and then Fast Five comes along. And that's where that's when things change.
Right.
Yeah.
Before Fast Five, I would have to give him his due. I thought Pain and Gain was his game changer.
But that was after.
That was late. That was far later.
Because it was Fast Five, and then then it was Snitch, then it was G.I. Joe, then it was Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain, yeah, that's far later.
Completely, you forgot about Snitch. I
ain't seen it. I didn't forget about it. I didn't want to talk about it.
Fast Five was the game changer of that flow. Vlogging franchise anyway.
Yeah, to be fair, like the franchise, like Vin Diesel, I hate to admit it, but it wasn't for The Rock being in it, the Fast Five wouldn't be on X right now.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
So
he still had that whole thing of, because by then he was starting to be known as the, if you want something to turn around, you hire The Rock.
Mm.
Mm.
And he did the job. He did the assignment. I mean, the fact that it's at 5 that man came in and turned it around, and we're at 10?
Yeah. Ten and a half now.
Ten and a half if we discount or bring in the Hobbs and Shaw. Big up to Brixton every time. That's super fun. Yeah, so by then he was kind of known as, yeah, he can bring around a front. Yeah, because by then he was quite consistent.
And then basically it's like, it's a shame. Like, something, I think that's something I heard on TikTok when it comes to The Rock. It's, he can't, his own franchises never succeed. And it's a shame. He has to piggyback on other things to do well. And
yeah.
And yeah, because Black Adam was his time to do that, and it obviously did, it flopped. And I mean, quite, yeah. I enjoyed the film. I'm sure you guys did. It was yeah, amazing, yeah. But it was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. Yeah.
But like, it's a shame because I would love to. What the fuck?
What?
He was in Driven in the Holograms.
Excuse me. What? What we're googling? What?
The Rock, to be fair, he's playing himself, he's playing Dwayne Johnson, but apparently he was in the Chairman of the Holograms live action film.
Oh, the live action? Oh. Oh.
Oh.
Like Encanto, we don't talk about holograms. Oh, good. Okay.
But Mr. Shane, like, again, I hope, like, this bad press calms down after a while due to the fact of this bullshit that he for him overstepping his boundaries, because again, I don't think The Rock's a bad person. I don't think he just I feel like wrestlers who go into Hollywood cannot keep the wrestling mindset, and I feel like he's kept his wrestling mindset. Or even or how about this, basically he knows he's a brand, he knows he's a franchise, he needs to get himself out of the franchise he needs to stop pitching himself as a brand and start pitching himself more as a person or an actor, because that's what I've got. Go on.
I was going to say, what in your opinion is the wrestling mindset?
I'm number one. I've got to be on top. Everything I say goes. I'm the face of the company, and it's hard to ignore that, especially if you come from WWE background, and then basically the whole idea of WWE, you're trying to get that brass ring to be that guy who is champion and can carry the company to every pay-per-view until injury takes you out or you get bored. Basically, you basically become you become The Rock, you become Stone Cold, you become John Cena, Randy Orton, the Tribal Chief. You become, that's basically the aim of a wrestler. But that mentality can't work fully in Hollywood due to the fact of all the politics. And especially if you're with The Rock's plan, obviously, because he wanted to play a big key in the DCEU. And he steps on a lot of toes to do that.
Yeah. Oh yes.
So like, and again, in the wrestling industry, you can probably get away with that, and you probably buy one of the boys who you pissed on a few rounds in a bar, and it's water under a bridge. But in Hollywood, yeah, you need to be careful in where you step, whose toes you're stepping on.
Yeah, and also I think that's a very good point, and I think as well. Because I wanted to kind of get into like what you guys think, because you know you're far better placed than me to talk about the wrestling mindset, because you've seen it, you've been in it for so long, you see it from kind of all sides, whereas I'm kind of seeing it from a bit of experience and observations and outside in. And for me, it's a kind of thing of, there isn't a get into the heel or get into like, you know, or get into that equivalent and then you've done it. It's also a thing of, you need longevity, because like when I'm thinking about, okay, let's look at Schwarzenegger. Let's look at, because it's like, that's the field that he's in. He's in the action one. So we're talking the Schwarzeneggers, the Stallones, and the Willises, yeah? And when I think of that, I think of like their arcs. It's like Bruce Willis has the range. He's had the range from the get-go. He's gone from TV to be, you know, where he's at you know, where he's at. And obviously now he's obviously in decline due to medical issues. But he went from doing something very intensive, moonlighting, do you know what I mean? Doing background work to moonlighting to Die Hard. And, but then through that, we get this, as you say, the different pat we've got, because John McClane is not the same character that's in Death Becomes Her, which I saw the other day, and it was a gem to watch again. those little shitty action things, to even the other day, like watching him in the Gorillaz video. And it's still like, he's still to red. He's still, because it's like, it's about consistency and subtlety and nuances. And take it, because, you know, out of the big hitters, who's really, like, who's really out hitting? Or who would you still go and watch? I would still go watch Schwarzenegger. Stallone, I'd hesitate. Because Stallone is very much like,
If it's Rocky, I'm definitely going to watch it. Or Rambo. Yeah. Shit.
But he's in his lane. That's it. He's like, Expendables, he's in the lane. Where's the lie? Where is the lie? Like the thing about Rambo is that first blood is brutal. I encourage anybody to sit down and watch First Blood. Because first blood is brutal.
You say First Blood is brutal. Have you watched Last Blood?
Okay. Is that the one where they go to Cambodia?
No,
that's the fourth one, which is that's brutal. That's brutal in its own right as well. To be fair,
yeah.
Oh god, that was no. Trigger warning: if you have a whole thing with like abuse and stuff, do not watch the fourth Rambo
or the fifth one.
Yeah. I'm encouraging you, please. Like, if you really have a thing with it, don't watch it. It is not good. It's just not good. But why I say brutal, I don't mean for the things that are done. I mean for how he got treated.
Yeah.
Like, straight up, First Blood, how they treat a veteran is disgusting. And it didn't even need to, like, him and his mate, it didn't even need to be like it was like acts of brutality. It was brutality in the sense of how they treated this person. And him bringing that attention was fantastic, because it's like, you need to understand, people are coming home from these things, they're being treated badly. And that's what that was. And it basically was like our first intro to PTSD. Do you remember like how he gets talked down? It's like he's crying at the end. He's being talked down by his former, you know, his former like commander in chief, and being like, John, it's all right to come home. And he's talking him down. And it's like, this is how we treat our vets. And then it's become this other thing that ends up in video games. Mortal Kombat. So it's become this almost mythologized thing, but it was brutal. And it showed the range. And that's the thing with Stallone, is that every so often you get his range. Just every so often you'll get like a piece of him. Like when he gives that speech in Rocky.
Oh, Rocky Balboa.
About like, like the later Rockies.
Keep moving forward.
Oh, God. Look. And then the whole juxtaposition. I'm not going to get emotional.
See. So what I'm saying is she'll watch a Stallone movie in the right situation.
Well,
but that's the thing, is that there's no guarantee you're going to get that one every time.
Well, to be fair to Stallone, he's been consistent in, like, when he's been in the Creed film / Rocky film, he's always been Rocky. And that's why I want the underdog. And when you're watching your man fight cancer while training young Creed, I'm sorry. You got Rocky every day.
That's being, everyone's got their Stallone go-to movies. My personal favorite is Copland.
That's when we went full method.
Yeah. That's what it's like, we forgot he can act. But in fact, he's actually acting. For real.
And and he's sharing screens like with De Niro, Harvey Keitel.
Leota was in that.
Yeah.
But then you know what I'm now wondering? Is it a case of it almost could be a case of, I'm asked to rescind what I've just said, that...
Yep.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Stallone walked so everyone else could run, because it's like, was he given the opportunity to do more of those emotional roles, or did it just become the whole thing of just do the action thing? Just do that. Because so maybe in just doing that, that's what was sacrificed. Because Copland, thank you for reminding me, was flipping brilliant.
Brilliant film.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, like, when Stallone started, when he was... obviously, you got to remember, he directed the first... He directed most of the Rockies, but the first one, that was his pet project. Yeah. And he gave up so much so that film would actually be released. He actually had to sell his dog. He brought his dog back, bless him. But yeah, he gave up basically everything to make sure that film became what it was. So yeah, man, put some respect on his name.
No, you know, even
thanks him and his brother Frank for giving us Staying Alive, which is always the weirdest thing to me. That was always going to be the weirdest thing to me. Frank Stallone Staying Alive. That was weird.
I mean, Arnie, we can't even knock Arnie, right? Because straight away, you've got to think this man had, to quote the term, banger after banger after banger after banger.
He knew his niche.
Yeah, and he kept to it.
Yeah. And he was a man of his word, because he said everything he said, he did.
Yeah. Even though we were talking about this the other day, weren't we, bro? We were saying that, like, Schwarzenegger's the kind of guy where it's like, there's stuff he's done, don't get me wrong. There's stuff where it's like,
Come on, dude.
And as somebody who has a degree in American history, I can take a little issue with his tenure as governor. However, the story of that man is the thing where you're just like, what? Like, it is the stuff. He literally is the stuff of legend. That's why man can sit down and say, with the sword of Conan, literally say, Nazis ain't crossing this, yeah? So come, because I swear, by this sword, I will crush your enemies. I will see a dungeon before me and hear the lamentation of whoever would like to lament. And I'm like, Arnie, I'm with you. When he's like, I can call it my dad. I'm like, raw, man's calling out his own dad. But let me get back to, before I go on a little love fest with Arnie. I think in a way, obviously, I think, you know, the thing with Stallone and a lot of those guys, they were off their time. Mm. So the opportunities weren't offered to them to do those roles. It's almost like, in a way, they did do that walk so Batista could run. Because Batista does the range. And I like the fact that Batista's like, even when people were really like at the height of loving him in Guardians, he was like, do not get comfortable because I won't be here for long. And I was like, what? Okay. But then I was almost like, why is that? But because at the time, Batista was kind of new to me, until I then go, oh, because he actually has other things. And I've got to say, I appreciate him in Glass Onion. I love it. I know I have a bias on it, but my, he was good in that. I've heard he's good at knock at the cabin. That he's brilliant.
He was awesome in Hotel Artemis.
Yeah, and everyone's he was so good in that.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like, talk to him. And I can see him having that because he's not doing the scattergun approach. He's actually making the kind of like, I will be in this movie with these people who are gonna push my boundaries a bit. I'm gonna get some real chops off this, which is a very different place to, I feel like, the scattergun of Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I mean, for me, when I saw Blade Runner 2049 and I saw Batista and I thought, bro, forget even Bond. You made it, man. Because for that little scene around Gosling, brilliant. He just commands the screen and he had little to do. But when you think Blade Runner 2049, you think, oh yeah, Batista in it. And that's a sign of a great actor. And yet again, you would have thought, man, was wearing spandex. Look at him now.
And the weird thing is, sometimes I can forget his size.
Yeah.
Like in like knock at the cabin, he froze me again. And then like in Glass Onion, even though it's a part of him, it's not the same. It's just and it's a mark of his ability. And I'm excited to see what he's gonna do next. By comparison to John Cena.
See, John Cena, I feel like he's getting there when it comes to being with Dave Bautista, because like I was doing some research and I came across a trailer for a film he'd done called The Independent.
Brian Cox one.
Yes. So he plays like a presidential
candidate.
But obviously in the process there's a conspiracy where it looks like someone is embezzling money from the American Lotto service. Okay. So and I was just watching him just be, I didn't see John Cena. I saw a candidate which was just like, okay, all right. But then I feel like I fell in love with John Cena when it came to the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Oh, he was so good in that.
And then when I saw Peacemaker, like,
yeah.
I was like, okay, you're playing a tragic hero. I get it now. I get it.
Mm.
And like, one thing I got to say, when it comes to Peacemaker, the chemistry between him and Robert Patrick, his dad, was so spot on. And I remember I saw a clip from Michael Rosenbaum's podcast where he was on the show,
right? Yeah,
and he was talking about people were so amazed by the chemistry that him and John had, but people seem to forget that I was in his first film, which he was a bad guy in the Marine. They had chemistry from then. So basically, it was like, oh hey, what's up, blah blah blah. So by that point, obviously he's done his thing and grown as an actor. So when he came into Peacemaker, it was like, okay, and especially knowing someone on the cast, like yeah, boom, the chemistry just flowed, because like watching that awkward moment when they were like having dinner together or whatever, and they're just talking about shit. I was just like, I literally believe that's his dad.
Yeah,
and it was just like. Because like when I'm talking about the part where Idris Elba being afraid of rats, and he was just laughing and blah blah blah. I was like, I wasn't the bitch that shot you, and he was like, he's been quiet. And I was just like, oh shit! It was just Rob Patrick was so good in that as well. To be fair,
he was because I hated him.
Yeah, exactly.
But he also made John Cena look childlike, which is like, I felt with bigger actors, like especially like actors who are built and bulky, like, they can like overplay their hand sometimes. Like they can go like where it looks a bit silly,
yeah.
Or they could do it in just the perfect way. Like the best example is Michael Duncan Clark in Three Mile, yeah. If he pushed it either way, it could have been too menacing. And I've read I know that book very well, let alone the film. and he's supposed to pay John Coffey in a certain way, which is a childlike innocence and wonderment. But in the wrong hands, you're supposed to be intimidated. Mm-hmm. And when he does the whole bit of "Don't cover my eyes, boss, I can't stand the dark," I was like, "I'm broken.
Yeah,
I'm dead." And he's done it. It's perfect. So because we're used to seeing him funny, like in Armageddon, that was just perfection. It was just brilliantly delivered. And the fact that John Cena can do that in Peacemaker, where he can be like, "Dad, look at me." It's almost like, "Dad, look, I'm good enough. I'm good enough." And you're a bit like, "Wow. Oh my God." You're "Oh my God" in at the same time of going, "But you're John Cena," but you're not, you're buying into the fact that he's leaving that part of it behind. And that's really good. Sorry, big man, I cut you out. Sorry, man.
No, it's all good. It's fine.
You were saying something that I talked over you.
I can't remember.
Apologies.
It's all good. You know, I'm just saying, with Robert Patrick, and sorry, he plays the arsehole role so well in everything. From T2, even Striptease. I mean, what an idiot he portrayed it in that film. Even saying it now, I'm laughing. He was perfect to play his dad because he just wanted to kill this mother as soon as you saw him on screen, and I went, yeah. Roll on series 2 whenever that will be, but all around, great TV series by Gunn. Looking forward to his future work.
And I am looking forward to Hidden Strike. John Cena and Jackie Chan. Yes! Oh. Yes!
I'm like, the dream team! Oh my gosh. I think I know what I remember on another podcast I listened to where they said that, like, if you ever want to see the mark of a good actor, watch wrestling, because they have to improv at a level that you're not ready for and engage everybody from whoever is next to the ring to the back, and that is a skill. And it really made me appreciate it, but it's the whole thing of going from that to translating that to the screen, which is the difficulty, and not a lot of them can do it. That's the issue. Like, sometimes there are someone I wish would do it. Look at you, Xavier Woods.
He would be so good, to be fair.
He'd be so good.
He'd be a good bloody actor.
Oh my God. And someone else was like, also, I think I saw someone put a comment on the video that you shared, bruv, but someone's like, he should be like a video game voice actor. And I was like, yes, he should be. But anyway, but then also, you know, then he's got his degree in psychology and can be a therapist. So it's like,
It's funny because I was watching his YouTube, the Battle of the Brand thing he does with Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
And I literally watched this man with Tyler Breeze argue what is that first part that John Cena says in his song for at least half an hour. Like, you know that? Yeah, like, she's arguing what is he exactly saying, to the point where it was, let's look up. He didn't say that, he says this, no, he says that. They were arguing, it was half an hour they were talking about this, and I was laughing my ass off because I'm thinking, what does he actually say? Was it Yabadoo or was it Abadoo? What is he actually
saying? But is it even John Cena? Because I thought they got that from another song that
I don't even know. Apparently,
it sounds
yeah, that part, the intro is definitely taken from somewhere else.
It sounds like the beginning of Ante Up from MIB.
Yeah, it is. But they're still trying to figure out what they're saying that, and they still don't know what it is. Apparently it's like Abadoo. And they're like,
now it's gonna be in my head.
Thank you.
It's weird though, thinking about, yeah, thank you. But going back to the whole thing about the pillars, so we've got, you know, Cena, Johnson, Batista, sorry. Like, my brain was like, what the?
To be fair, because Batista was his wrestling name, and it's actually his last name, so.
That's true. Also, though, you're forgetting the mini people, didn't Goldberg have, no, who was in Santa's sleigh?
Goldberg.
But you know what, right? Fair play to Goldberg, man. This is a sentence which I'll never come out with.
I was going to say, are you okay?
Yeah. Universal Soldier, the return.
He was actually really good in that. He was actually really good in that. I fucking hate to admit that shit.
That ridiculous spear he gave that guy. That's, straight away, someone mentioned Universal Star. I think, yeah, Goldberg giving the orderly the spear, and Michael Jarre White, that ridiculous run-up mid-air kick. That's the first two things that
comes to my head. I remember, I bought on video when the rental version of it became available in Blockbusters back in the day. That's just how old I am and how old the bloody film is.
What a difference.
And I put it on while our cousin Priscilla was here in the room. I have never seen a woman drool in person until she saw Michael Jai White Potopoulos. And when he was going through that, I'm talking about like a early 30s Michael Jai White. I mean, right now he still looks fucking amazing. Anyway, he's like 50 something years old. He still looks fucking like he's 20 years old. But like that's exactly what she was doing. That too. She's like when he was making a speech about part man, part machine. But then both, and she was like, "You're damn right." I'm like, "Fuck's sake, Chris Law." But yeah,
in the words of Black Diamond, I'm like, "Chocolate, giddy up."
Have you seen the trailer for his new western?
No.
Okay, I need to share that. It's basically like a throwback to Boss N-word.
Okay.
Oh Lord, they call him Boss. Oh my God. Okay, we're gonna have to. Okay, but wait, and also, who was Victor? What's his face? Because there were some people who tried it and didn't quite get to the D heights, right?
Oh, there's a lot of people who tried it and didn't get to the body heights.
The Miz, who
basically took over from John Cena after the Marine films. Yeah. He's on Marine 7 at the moment or whatever it is.
Wow. To be fair, the Miz should have actually been playing Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat.
He would be good.
As much as I love Carl Urban, I just can't see that one, and that needs a done deal now. So, I can't wipe that one out. But yeah, Miz would have been.
Look, never underestimate Urban. If I learned anything in the game, never underestimate Urban at all.
But I see Urban. I just think Butcher now. I don't even think Ragnarok. I don't think older head Xena. But I see Butcher what he plays.
I'm sorry. When I hit Carl, I just think about the Dread film that I knew, the Dread 2 Dread. Film that that we deserve. That's what I think of. Dread. Oh, the film's called the Michael Jai White Western is called The Outlaw Johnny Black.
Okay.
Right.
Of course, it's called that.
Oh my gosh, there are two titles so far. That one and they clone Tyrone, which also is hitting me that I want to see. John Boyega's new film.
Oh yeah,
with Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Oh God.
Who else is trying to make films in the rest of the industry?
Who was the horror film?
Oh, Kane.
Thank you, Kane.
That one.
Yes, it's See No Evil. Thank you very much.
To be fair. Like Batista, he started off his acting career in Smallville.
Yeah. Oh. You know what? You saying that again. I remember seeing and I thought I was tripping, but I really wasn't. I saw this really bad film and it had Batista and Rob Van Damme.
Yes, you did see that film. That film was called... I saw it. It was really... I've got it written down. Where is it? Where are you? Where's my list? It is right here.
I'm talking levels of Sky Friday.
It looked terrible. That's it. I wrote Town. Some shit film. I remember that. I remember. it was really bad.
Shit film called Town.
It was something dumb town. Let's see. He was in Neighbours?
What?
Batista was in Neighbours, apparently.
Talk about rage. Okay, yeah, that's it. Close it all up. Sorry, I've got the rage right there. He was in Neighbours?
But he was playing Batista, though, so it doesn't really count.
Oh.
That's it. That's it.
Wrong
side of town.
Oh, my.
He was called Big Ronnie.
Of course he... Oh, my God.
3.8 on IMDb.
Oh, Lord. Oh. You know what? I think what you said originally, Bob, is right.
Oh, Ja Rule was in it as well.
Oh no! Where is Ja? Only Ja can help me get through this.
Oh God!
Ja being in that.
Well, he's on the front cover. Well, he's on the front cover behind. Right, who's on the front cover? Let's have a look. Yeah, he's like behind. He's like behind Batista, Rob Van Dam.
Oh my god! You know what? I think you're right, bub. I think Batista got.
Yeah, he did a lot more. He did a lot more shit. A lot more shit.
By compared to everybody else, and like now, and also like, Cena's even gone kind of like from even his shit films are not shit films. They're just like. Like Sisters to Peacemaker is like, dude, you've done quite well. His shit films are what? Fast and Furious?
Well, I'll say his shit film would probably be the Fred films, and actually, well, I don't know. I haven't seen Blockers, where he plays a parent and his parent, the kid's about to. Right. Yeah, well, that's why I keep it. And then I'll probably say his rubbish film is probably Playing with Fire, but then even that apparently is pretty decent.
That Anthony family film.
Yeah, the Fire Precinct. It had John Lazama in it and Keenan in it. Keenan Michael Key.
We also forgot another mini pillar.
Yeah.
Somebody who was in a series and was very very good in that series.
Edge. Edge is actually, you know, Edge is actually not bad, to be fair. That's not a bad show.
That's what I mean.
I mean, he hasn't made Hollywood though.
No, he hasn't.
He's been solely Canadian TV. So
yeah, he has. But apparently he was really, really good in Vikings.
I keep hearing he's really good in Vikings. He did an episode of Flash. He
was good in that.
Yeah, he was actually quite good in Flash.
So we call him like a little mini pillar.
Do you want me to call him a little mini pillar?
Little mini pillar.
Okay, we'll call him a little mini pillar for you.
Thank you. Adam, guy.
Well, side note, you heard about his impending announcement
or retirement.
Yeah.
Adam, stop it, please, babe. Oh, seriously.
Well, to be fair, like he's going to be 50 soon, so maybe. Yeah. Well, so you know, to be fair, he retired. He came back.
We watched the whole documentary about retirement, and he's back.
Yeah. So basically,
I'm gonna watch another one, Adam.
Shut up. If I say, well, shut up. Kidding. Yeah, it's like, you're going to watch it.
One more time. Okay. You got me. Okay. I'm actually still confused by the intro. I'm still confused if there was the Ultimate Warrior in it.
Firepower, baby. I'll send you the link. to look it up, not to watch it, because I don't know where you can watch that film anymore. So,
I don't know what's the film.
Yeah. Firepower,
and also, I mean, then again, I was going to say, Macho Man doesn't really count because he just played himself in Spider Man.
Oh, Bonesaw's ready.
Bonesaw, the cream rises to the top. Yes, you know, I mean, I guess we will see where this plays out. I would like to, you know, I think actually this might, and also hasn't The Rock series been cancelled as well recently?
Little Rock. Yeah. One surprise. One surprise, man.
Yeah, it's been cancelled. But I'm almost a bit like, maybe this is the time for you to, because the truth is, a lot of the actors, they, you know, go off for a little bit, come back with, you know, fresh, new, and having learned something. And maybe this is the time for The Rock to kind of learn that.
Yeah. So let me put it this way. You know it's gone real bad, yeah, if you see The Rock return at WrestleMania. And I think you know the money's done. And XL hasn't really taken off again. Yeah, so there's going to be apparently more cuts out of that, the American football franchise that you fronted. So,
sorry, I don't know that one.
Exactly. Why?
So, no, Siri, no. No one knows XFL, trust me.
If he makes that phone call to Tripp saying, yo, do me a solid, Roman does the acknowledge me, then you hear, if yes now, I will laugh.
But I will laugh so he should need the money. Like, what's he got? He's got an alcohol brand, hasn't he?
Alcohol brand, he's got Terra Mana,
yep.
7 Blocks Production Company,
yep.
XFL. Project Rock from in Under Armour. He should be good for a few months. No, I'm joking.
Well, he's got Moana, the live version, forthcoming as well, isn't it?
True.
Money has to be made, and boy, he needs to be doing.
Yeah, he's still got like upcoming things. So he's got, because it's going to be in the next Fast film. So, spoiler alert, my bad. And apparently there is supposed to be It's supposed to be San Andreas 2.
Oh, really? Oh my God.
Apparently. And there's apparently supposed to be another Fast and Furious film. Like,
oh, yeah. The, in the middle between the events of 9 and 10. That's what that is regarding him. Yeah.
You know, but I'm going to say it. The Rock, if you're listening, because obviously you do, you know.
Of course you do.
Of course he does. I would just say, just do a Dante's Peak volcano redo. Just that's what I'm saying. Just do.
I would watch that.
See, bruv, you know it.
I'm a sucker for a disaster film. If you're gonna do a remake of one of my favorite disaster films, Volcano. Yes.
Volcano.
He jumped off the that.
Oh, Sky, that was underappreciated. Skyscraper was fucking awesome. I love that film. Oh.
Bro's like, tonight viewing is set.
Like there are two films. Three films, thanks to Big Man, who pissed on Faster for some reason. I don't know why Man did that. But there are three films that I felt like are underappreciated. Faster, for obvious reasons. Yeah. Skyscraper and Rampage. Rampage is probably one of the best gaming adaptations.
I thought Rampage was a lot more violent than I thought that film would be.
Wait, was it George?
Yeah, George.
George,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why do I remember that?
Because it's fucking awesome, that's why! But that was...
Right, I'm set. Tonight I'm watching Faster, I'm watching Rampage, and I'm watching Skyscraper.
Because to be fair, again, Rampage, people seem to forget that it's a game adaptation. People seem to forget that it's actually... Yeah. So it's based on a video game, so probably one of the better video game adaptations out. So I highly recommend it. But Skyscraper, oh, that was a good throwback to old school Die Hard films, man. What's it? Thing of Inferno?
Tower Inferno.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. That's Inferno. But that's a Disco Inferno, but that's a wrestler. But anyway.
And also a song.
Burn, baby, burn. But anyway, but yeah. So yeah.
Interesting take on the pillars. I wonder what the future holds. I'll be interested to see what I stand behind that John Cena should go in the oven for a little bit more. But Batista, I watch with interest.
Well, he's got. If you want to see him next, you can see him in the Barbie movie, playing Ken. He's a Ken. And he's also in the up-and-coming Turtles movie. He's playing Rocksteady.
Yes, he is. That trailer looks...
And, of course, Hidden Strike with Jackie Chan. Yes. That's going to be the best film. That's going to be the best film of all time.
Wow. And we're coming into your birthday month soon, so perfect timing.
You know, you saying that, I had no idea the Turtles is out on the 31st of July. I was like, really? That's come around. I didn't even know it had a release date already.
I'm looking forward to that. Again, I just love the fact that the Teenage Mutant Ninja are actually teenagers.
Yes, exactly. Who knew, you know, that the Teenage Mutant Ninja would actually be good as teenagers, kids. But that's just me. I'll put this, for those who haven't seen it, I'll put the trailer in the description. But yeah, I guess we'll call it there, bruv.
Definitely.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I mean, the beginning was painful. That's the pain I had to say live.
You hide the walls bars, you freak.
Wow, Mr. Nanny. Shush.
Hey, have fun. Hey, he gets beat up right at the beginning, so you can kiss my black ass.
Oh, no. No, we're not doing that at all. Keep it going for your ears. If you would like to get in contact, you can email us at centjudeavengers@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at messeduppod, and you can find us on Twitter at andmessed, forever how long that lasts. Big man, where's your socials?
You can find me on Instagram, Mr_Roberts_V1, and on Twitter at War3782. Mr. Classic, sir, where can we find you?
You can find me on YouTube on the Instant Classic _KB. You can also find me on Twitch, TikTok, and Instagram under Instant Classic _gaming.
Thank you very much for your ears, and we shall see you soon. Take care.
Hey. Yabba-doo-ba-ba-da-ba. And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.